We're a little quieter today. I think the midsummer energy is needing a bit rekindled. We've probably been running and enjoying, and by the numbers that are out today, many still are going and running. The long days are tiring us out. So take a deep breath. Don't fall asleep, no matter how boring the preacher gets. And enjoy the fellowship of the family. It is very good to be together. It is wonderful to be together. And I hope you're drinking it in. I have a letter. You have a letter. We have a letter. Another one from Ben. And I'd love to read it to you. It's not that it takes too long. It's just that I take too long doing things. So I really invite you. I think both of his letters are on the bulletin board there. I really invite you to read the two journal entries that Ben has sent us and the one that Danny has sent us. They're very encouraging. It's really beautiful to hear how well they're doing in their works. But in this work, let's begin this lesson with a prayer. Precious God, dear Father, how can we thank you enough? We thank you for your word and the truth of it, and we pray that we are humble and obedient and careful and deliberate about knowing your word. Father, I pray that we'll be devoted to learning who you are, what your word teaches us, and our heart-centered response to it. Please help us in this lesson now to be learning from you and of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, we have the beginning of the church. The very, 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 very beginning of the church. And it's exciting to read. We've read this together before. But in verse 42, after the 3,000 were baptized, in verse 42, we read these words. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And I think if we can get that right, or at least the devotion of that right, we will be well on our way to the maturity and growth that God wants us personally and collectively to have. They continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the Bible, the Word, the New Testament, which wasn't written at the time, but they had the apostles themselves standing in front of them. So the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and that's this, the gathering of Christians. Whether we gather on Sunday or Wednesday for Bible study and the Sunday service or Wednesday night devotional, whether we gather for a barbecue or a 4th of July picnic, whether we gather for a wedding or a farewell for somebody, this is the fellowship, and it's worthy of devotion. To the breaking of bread, and that's what we've done this morning, the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Imagine having our hearts in devotion to those four things. It's an encouraging and very doable life pattern, isn't it? To set your devotion to those four simple, beautiful things. The problem, and one of the big problems, besides the busy life that we have and the distractions that we have, one of the big problems is that there are so many voices out there telling us what to think or what to believe. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, Brady, I just turned on another microphone. Starting in verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And it continues to describe more about false prophets and false teachers. But let us pull out of the verse the warning that there are many false prophets. There are many false voices around us. They discourage simply by the diversity, simply by the numbers of different teachings about the Bible. You can get very discouraged. Look over to 2 Peter. You're in the neighborhood in 1 John. Turn back to 2 Peter, chapter 2. Verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. Peter is promising us, the Holy Spirit is guaranteeing us that there are going to be false teachers. John warns us that there will be many. And in the next verse, or the continuation in 2 Peter 2, who secretly introduced destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many, many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be maligned, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. And their judgment is not long ago, from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. You know, you don't need to worry about justice. I don't remember exactly the situation, but I ran into a mother and child just a few days ago, and the discussion was absolutely on fairness. That's not fair. Well, it's not going to be fair. We can just settle on that. This life is not going to be fair. But God will bring perfect, loving justice. So even when false teachers go out and are extremely successful in their error and make a lot of money with pulling a lot of people off to a wrong pathway and are able to convince them to donate lots of money into their pockets or into their cause, Peter reassures us, not that we necessarily needed reassurance, but their judgment from long ago is not idle. They may be able to stand on this earth in their error, but they will not be able to stand before God in their error. I wanted to look at some of the attributes of false teachers, because we've got to be careful. You've got to be careful to make sure that the man standing in front of you is not wrong in his teaching. It's absolutely something I'm determined to be careful with. But guess what? I can be wrong. I have been wrong. And maybe like Peter, I could probably guarantee you I'll make more mistakes. One of the things we learn from Peter and in 2 Corinthians 11 is that some false teachers are secret, secretive, and hidden. In 2 Corinthians 11, we start with this verse, and for the sake of brevity, I'll just start in verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. If Satan can fool us by looking like an angel, we need to have our eyes wide open, know that we can be fooled. Absolutely. Something that looks pure and good and wonderful and warm. Puppies and kittens everywhere. I mean, just really snuggly warm and wonderful. Can be a demonic disguise from Satan and be as foul as can be. Don't be embarrassed if you get fooled, but be careful that you don't. Have your eyes wide open. We read a minute ago to test every spirit. Test the spirits, 1 John 4:1. Test the spirits to see if they are from God. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul is dealing with problems in Jerusalem. And in verse 4, it says, but it was because of false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty. So even inside the church, people secretively and in a hidden way will bring in false teachings. So some false teachers are hiding themselves, like a snake in the grass, if you will. They're hiding the error deliberately behind some sort of pretense. Okay, so that's one kind of false teacher. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in the kingdom. Y'all can do the next words together. Preach the word, right? Preach the word. Preach the word. Thank you, Jim. Preach the word. A great introduction, but I won't get into that. I love verse 1 because of all of the introduction that it is to that phrase, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they are the crowds, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Some false teachers are like these hired hands here. They're men pleasers. I want to hear what I want to hear. There's a mega church way down south in Texas, and they just moved to one of the, they bought out the sports arena in the middle of the city where they are, and they moved into the sports arena. It was big news a few years ago. And by whatever chance or providence I got to hear the opening lesson being given to the 13,000 people gathered in that sports arena. And the speaker said, my daddy started this church in a garage X number of years ago, and I'm going to continue to teach the same way my daddy taught. My dad taught God's word in a positive way. And he taught all of the positive things about it. He didn't teach the negatives. And that's the way I'm going to continue to teach. We're not going to talk about anger and wrath and the wrongs. We're going to talk about the uplifting and the positive and the encouraging. And that's what he's continuing to do. Which would you rather hear? All the rah-rah uplifting stuff? Or would you rather hear about hell and sin and wrong? I think you know that Jesus taught more about hell in his teachings than he did about heaven. We have got to understand the wrath of God. We have got to understand the awfulness and the filth of sin to be able to appreciate the joy of salvation. We have better be joyful people. But we're joyful because we've seen the evil and we're aware of it. We don't step aside and bypass the heavy or the hard or the bad or the negative. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We better understand how to fear God and why to fear God and in what way to fear God. No, there are many, 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 many who want their ears tickled with pleasing lessons. So some false teachers are men pleasers. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 27, Paul has invited out the elders from the church in Ephesus, and says to them in verse 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. CB and I often discuss and wrestle scriptural issues between ourselves. Make sure that we're united and that we're in agreement with Scripture and we challenge and dig into Scripture. Not all Scripture is easy to settle on. But just because there are a few parts that are difficult doesn't mean you cast out and say, well, therefore I can't follow it, or therefore everything goes. It doesn't work that way. You've got to be careful. For from among the church, inside the church, we will have savage wolves. We will have people who are looking to cause damage. People who want to hurt. Who acknowledge that what they're doing is destructive. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 7. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, verse 21, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. On the one hand, we have the wolves that cause damage, that deliberately are destructive. And we're told to look at the fruit of their lives. Look at the details of who they are and how they act when they're not in the limelight, when they're not surrounded by people who are checking on them. What kind of lives do they live? Check their fruit. But then we see the result of all of this false teaching. And that is people who approach Christ, figuratively or literally, with a, Lord, didn't we do things for you? And Jesus says to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. It might be the hardest thing of all, to think you're following Christ, to have announced him as Lord. It doesn't say enough here as to whether the person is convinced or simply giving him lip service. It doesn't say. But he says, Jesus says, that we must be doing the will of God in heaven. It's not people who simply call Christ Lord. It's not simply pronouncements. It's not simply going to church. It's not simply calling yourself a Christian. The titles and the words can be strewn around, and they are strewn around, loosely and sloppily. And Jesus cautions, you have to be doing the will of my Father in heaven. Go to his word. Know his teachings. Know me, and you'll know him, he teaches us. And finally, let me see, where have we been? We've been with the secret teachers, the hidden false teachers. We've been looking at the ones that are wolves in the church. We've looked at the ones that are men pleasers. Now let's look at the ones that are honest and zealous. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul writes about Jews, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Paul is talking about an entire classification of people. An entire group of people who are zealous, who are devoted, who are honest, and are wrong. I wish they could know salvation, he says, but they don't. They're zealous. Their conscience is clear, but they're not right. Let's look at one such man. In fact, one such man who went way beyond that. In Acts chapter 18, we can read the story of an individual who falls into a similar classification. The honest, zealous, hardworking, incorrect teacher. And this is the scripture reading we had at the beginning. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. He was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things of Jesus, the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explain to him the way of God more accurately. We learn a lot from this scripture, and for the sake of time, I won't be able to, but you go on and read this evening or this week, Acts chapter 19 in the first seven verses, the result of Apollos' teaching. A man who's teaching about Christ accurately, but leaving out accurate teachings on baptism and what happens. And Paul runs into a group of people who call themselves Christians, but don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Apollos was eloquent. He was courageous. He was knowledgeable. He was accurate about Christ. Man, I'd go to that church. Woohoo! Right? He was bold out there in the synagogue. You don't hear anybody other than Paul doing that kind of stuff in this day. So here's this popular, eloquent, I said popular only out of inference. Seems honest, he's zealous, but he's wrong. And not until Priscilla and Aquila come to him and teach him accurately do we find out that he's been set on his correctly on the right way for God's for a gospel preacher. And then he goes on. And then he's a great help. And we read about him throughout letters and Acts. Now, what we need to be, so what do you do about all this besides finding false teachers like Paul did, like Priscilla and Aquila did, and teach them more accurately? Well, turn back to Acts 17, and you can see the kind of people that we can be. The kind of people that we can be. To be careful in this environment where there are many teachers who lead many astray. Matthew chapter 7 also says that few find the way to God and many find the easy road. In Acts chapter 17, Paul has been chased from city to city. And from Thessalonica, he flees and ends up in Berea. In Acts 17, verse 11 is when they arrive. They went to the synagogue. Verse 10, they went to the synagogue. Verse 11, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's the spirit and the attitude that we should have. Can we make it full circle? Can we go back to the early church? Can we go back to Acts 2:42, where they were devoted to the apostles' teaching? Now he's in Berea, and they're hearing the teaching, and they're going back to the Word, because at that time Paul was connecting things to the law, to the Old Testament, to the prophets. And they're going back to the Scriptures and challenging what Paul's teaching on every point to see whether his teachings were accurate. Look at verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a prominent number of Greek women and men. When you go back to the Word, when you know the Scriptures, when you yourself are an individual devoted to God's teaching, then when some guy like me stands up in front of you, you can check him. You can challenge him. You can know whether he's right or in error. It doesn't mean you'll know the answer to every biblical question. It doesn't mean he'll know the answer to every biblical question. But you'll know whether you've got somebody teaching the truth or somebody teaching falseness. They can come in many directions. They can be hidden. Everything from hidden to conscientious and zealous, but wrong. They can be as evil as from one end to the other, an angel of darkness looking like an angel of light, where they can be as honest and as kind and as true as their heart can be and just be wrong about what they're teaching. And the difference is, or the only settlement on the issue is, whether they're evil or whether they're good-hearted, is are they teaching the truth? Are they teaching the truth? And that's the one filter. The other filters God has to deal with. But that's the one filter that we can know and we can deal with right here and in our lives. Let's be a congregation that is devoted to the apostles' teaching and careful about the word and careful about the teaching of others around us. Because there are many false teachers. It's a responsibility CB and I have to have. It's a responsibility I have to have as a preacher. It's a responsibility that Bill has to have as an evangelist. That CB and I can make sure we're fed as a flock by truth. We make sure that we keep the wolves out. I make sure that I preach the word, and Bill makes sure that he brings the gospel, the true gospel, to people as he evangelizes. That's a combination we're supposed to have. Let's be careful with false teaching and be accurate and careful and following and committed to true teaching. If there's any here now that can respond to the calling for Christ, if any here need to be baptized or have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward while we sing the song that's been selected. I've got a home in glory, land that I've